Let's turn our attention this morning to this very important subject of the nuts and bolts of church discipline. This is a very, very critical area in church life, and this is an area that is of very significant importance to a biblical counselor, because sometimes we find ourselves working with people who do not listen to the Scriptures, who do not hear and obey the Scriptures, and who need the loving admonition, the loving instruction of the church. Dr. Paul Van Gorder, the associate teacher of the radio Bible class, wrote that an ingredient is missing in the 20th century church. He said, "We're not lacking in church building, but architectural wonders are displayed across this continent. We have piled high our monuments of brick, mortar, stone, steel, and glass, and we have filled them with padded pews, ornate fixtures, lovely draperies, and costly musical instruments. Not only does the church have an abundance of material properties, but it also has an ever-increasing efficient organization. The church today specializes in presenting its people a variety of seminars, Bible studies, soul winning courses, and spiritual how-to classes. Yet, the same attitudes and problems that had to be faced in the church at Corinth are being encountered today. But predominant in the Corinthian church was the need for purity, for a cleansing from sin, and that required discipline." He said this in conclusion: "If unity is to be maintained in the church, and I would say if unity is to be maintained in your church, it must be sustained in righteousness. The great spiritual dearth in many local assemblies today, and which threatens churches that are not in full spiritual health, is the result of impurity that is tolerated. This has been allowed to creep in because the church has been unwilling to discipline those within its own fellowship." And I would say, amen. Amen. In many ways today, the Church of Jesus Christ is in sad shape because those in church leadership have not trained and have not led their churches to practice God's formula for maintaining the purity of the church. I was attending a counseling conference many years ago when I was a young pastor, and I greatly look forward to hearing one of the men whose writings had greatly impacted me, Dr. Charles Ryrie. He was speaking on the subject of church discipline, and as a young pastor, I was looking forward to growing in this area because it had become very much aware to me in my own small congregation that there was a need to lovingly confront people, and there were times I had seen as a pastor just doing biblical counseling, there was a time when we needed to bring some more white corpuscles of the body to help fight the infection of sin, and that church discipline was needed in some cases to make people listen to what I was telling them from the Word of God. So I was listening to Dr. Ryrie. I'll never forget his introduction. This man got up, and in his opening comments, he said, "You know, take me with you, so forth. I'm not sure why I've been asked to speak on this subject. I've never seen it done. My daughter, one of them, is married now, living away from home, and she tells me her church has done it, and she told me something about it. But I've never seen it. I'm just going to have to talk about it simply from the standpoint of what the Scripture says, not from the standpoint of having practiced it." I thought, what a sad commentary on the Church of Jesus Christ, and a man of that stature, a man who would assume to be in a good Bible-believing church, has to say, "I know the Bible talks about it, but I've never seen it." I hope you won't ever have to say that. And if that is your testimony right now, I hope that what we talk about in this session will help you to change in that area. My observation is that our churches, the people in leadership in our churches today want their churches to grow, and they pray that God will help their churches to grow. And then they work at trying to grow the church, and they pray and ask God to keep the church pure. I think we kind of got it turned around. I mean, God has told us to keep the church pure, and he would grow. So let's talk about some of these principles that might help you to think maybe a bit more carefully, more precisely about the matter of church discipline. First of all, I want you to realize that the Scriptures are clear that God has given authority to your church. God has given authority to your church. Here's a familiar passage, Matthew 18, 18 to 20. Now, think about the context. 19, 15 to 17, God gives us the well-known passage that describes the steps, the procedure in dealing with an erring brother or sister. We're going to go through those in detail in just a few moments. Right after that, here is what Christ said to the disciples, and this is right before the major section on the subject of forgiveness. So packing right between the procedures on how to lovingly confront, and right before the section that's going to talk about forgiving, we have these words. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." A couple of thoughts on this. When we hear this passage read, it's usually read in reference to what? Prayer meeting. Or prayer. Did you catch where the context is? This is not talking about prayer meeting, folks. Jesus Christ is saying that when your church agrees with his word, when your church agrees with what he has told you to do, and you love somebody enough out of a love for God and a love for his word, you love somebody enough to lovingly confront, and if necessary, you go to them one time, if they don't listen to you and turn from their sinful ways, you get two or three more people go with you so the fact can be established, if they don't listen to you, you love them enough to take it to the public assembly and say, "This brother or this sister has been living this way, they refuse to repent, and out of obedience to the scriptures, we're going to dismiss them from our fellowship and say, that's the way people around here don't, we don't live like that around here." When you do that, the scriptures are teaching that something happens in heaven. I don't profess to fully understand what this passage is talking about, but at the minimum, it is saying that when a church practices biblical church discipline, something is happening in heaven that brings the approval of heaven. It's teaching clearly that God has given authority to your church. This emphasis is also made in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and we know this is a congregation that was just riddled with difficulties. And they're talking about this man who's living in an incestuous relationship. And Paul's statement was, "For I, on my part, though absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, and with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." God has given authority to your church. Number two in your outline, God has given the authority and the responsibility to discipline to your church. He's not just given authority, but he told you how he wants that authority used in your congregation. God has given the authority and the responsibility to discipline in your church. Now, discipline, in the broad sense, is a proper way of living. Sometimes there's a tendency on our part to think of the matter of discipline as the only thing a negative, being a punitive thing. But folks, think carefully about this now. A well-disciplined child is not one that gets spanked a lot. A well-disciplined child is one who has been trained to live the way he ought to. A well-disciplined basketball team is one, is not one primarily where the coach is yelling at them all the time and making them do extra practices and extra sprints and so forth because they're forever doing what's wrong. No, a well-disciplined basketball team is a team that still plays the way they're supposed to, a team that plays their position, a team that does what has been agreed ahead of time was going to happen in the game and what their strategy was. They do what they're supposed to do. A well-disciplined Christian is not one that is continually being admonished. A well-disciplined Christian is one who's brought his thinking and his behavior into conformity with the Scriptures, and he's not just talking the talk of a Christian, he's walking the walk of a Christian. So, this matter of discipline is a very positive concept. In the broad sense, it's a proper way of living. Discipline, in the narrow sense, is loving confrontation. Or, ultimately, it would be exclusion from fellowship. In other words, and if we think about the more narrow sense, the loving admonition part of it, it could cover a wide range of activities, from